Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Abramson. For the past 30 years, I've been working with people who are concerned about their weight and the related issues of diet, body image, and the psychology of weight control. Today, I'd like to talk with you about one of the most important aspects of weight management, learning to control emotional eating. In the first part of this program, I'll define emotional eating and discuss how it develops. In the second section, I'll talk about the different types of emotional eating and distinguish between binge eating and less severe types of emotional eating. The third section will present methods of nurturing yourself without using food, while in the fourth section, I'll describe the different emotions that commonly trigger unnecessary eating. In the fifth section, I'll present specific methods for dealing with each of the emotions that typically trigger eating. Do you ever find yourself standing in front of the open refrigerator looking for something to eat even though you weren't hungry? Have you ever felt the urge to snack and tried to talk yourself out of it? You knew that you weren't hungry and that you'd feel guilty if you did eat, but you had the snack anyway. Most likely, this type of unnecessary eating was triggered by emotions that you were experiencing. Eating is frequently used to soothe unpleasant emotions like stress or anxiety, boredom, anger, and depression. But occasionally, eating can serve to extend or intensify happy feelings, like when someone uses a favorite treat to celebrate a joyful event. Emotional eating is one reason why people gain weight, but clearly not the only reason. A lot of unnecessary eating is prompted by external cues, like the sight of other people eating, or seeing an appetizing food on a TV commercial, or eating just because it's lunchtime, even though you're not hungry. Since we're surrounded by hundreds of external food cues every day, it's easy to put on the pounds. People also gain weight because they choose high-calorie foods and have portions that are too large. For many folks, a lack of exercise and a sedentary lifestyle are responsible for extra weight. With our lifestyle and the environment with all the food cues, it's very easy to gain weight. But for some people, emotional eating can be the major cause of excess weight. But even if emotional eating isn't the only reason for your weight gain, there's research showing that controlling emotional eating is essential to maintain any successful weight loss. You may have had the experience of being on a diet, doing well, and losing weight until one day you were stressed or depressed or angry and you just gave up and ate something that wasn't on your diet. Afterwards, you were discouraged and thought, "What's the use? I can't stick to my diet. I'll never lose weight." And then you gave up. One study found that when successful dieters regained the weight that they had lost, about half the time the relapse was triggered by emotional eating. Even though they had lost weight and were doing well, one emotional upset was enough to undo all their hard work. So if you're an emotional eater, it will be necessary to overcome this habit in order to be successful at permanent weight control. Let's start by looking at the causes of emotional eating. If you're an emotional eater, does that mean you're addicted to food? While the cravings you have can seem like an addiction, most of the research doesn't support this idea. Even chocolate, which may contain some psychoactive substances, is probably not addicting since the amounts are too small to cause a real physiological addiction. Most people think chocolate tastes good, and they like the way it feels in their mouth. Besides, chocolate is associated with love. Hershey's Kisses and heart-shaped boxes of Valentine's chocolates are examples of this connection, and we all like to feel loved. Controlling emotional eating won't require that you abstain from any particular foods, but it will require self-examination so that you can understand how you are using food and what you can do to meet those needs without eating. Also, keep in mind that obesity by itself isn't an eating disorder or any type of mental disorder. The Psychiatric Diagnostic Manual doesn't have a category based solely on weighing too much. It's not a disease, a lack of willpower, or some personality defect. Emotional eating is a very common problem. Research suggests that more than 3/4 of the people enrolling in weight loss programs are emotional eaters. So if you're not addicted to food or mentally disturbed, why do you eat to make yourself feel better? For most people, emotional eating started early in childhood. When you were an infant and you were unhappy, you cried. Maybe you were cold or frightened, or you just needed your diaper changed, but you couldn't tell your parents. All you could do was cry. Your mother or father may have thought that you were crying because you were hungry, so they fed you. You stopped crying and were comforted by being held and fed. Eating became associated with being loved and comforted. This connection became stronger as you grew up, and food was used as a reward. When you got a good report card, your parents rewarded you with a trip to the ice cream parlor, or your mom made a special dessert. When your little league team won, you all went out for pizza. When it was your birthday, you blew out the candles on the cake and had a big piece. Throughout your childhood, eating was associated with celebrations, with comforting, and with love. Food, which was a source of physical nourishment, became a source of emotional nourishment. Now that you're an adult and you feel like celebrating, or you're needing love and comforting, you turn to food. As an adult, eating distracts you from any unpleasant feelings you're having and provides an easy reward you can use to make yourself feel better. The problem is that, in addition to gaining weight, emotional eating allows you to avoid dealing with the situations that are responsible for your negative emotions. Our task is to learn to cope with the emotions without food and to find other ways of nurturing ourselves.